interactive as a talk because I'm presenting all your results. Yeah, so that's stuff you did. So I don't know, as everybody else. I know. I just plot your data, so you know what you did. I don't. I tried to sort out problems with rotations, and I think I got to everybody back about coordinate system issues, sign convention issues, and I hope you sorted that out. But in general, you know all this model. We have 59 sites. We asked you to calculate 21 periods in the range from 0.1 second to 10,000 seconds, so that's 4 periods per decade.
Was there some reason you didn't want profiles like over the bodies? Or?
You know, we try to challenge you by putting stuff on the edges of what is of structures.
Yeah, for those of you that average things,
okay, so this is basically just going through depth slices. We have the 100 ohmmeter homogeneous half space and the dike structure 10 ohmmeters throws out the two bodies. And if you just strip off the homogeneous half space, you get this block structure. For those of you who haven't done the forward, that's how the model looked like.
And was there some, this was just a test. I was just wondering how you came up with this model, as opposed to anything else.
We really wanted to find a model where at some parts, the different components were going to dominate the resolution. Sensitivity, you know, so in this model, for example, in some parts, you can end up with large diagonals.
Well, I have a comment. What I found interesting about this model is the skin depths at the highest frequency versus the longest period made it quite challenging to be able to design a career to encompass the whole span and frequency.
Yeah, but we know that you do fine for simple models. You know, we want to see how folks behave if they push to the extremes. So I basically got, I think it's 12 different forward resolution, forward responses. Most of them are finite differences, two finite elements, and one integral equation. I personally find it interesting how largely the time for calculating the stuff varies from about half an hour up to, I don't know, 60, 70 hours, something like that. Yeah, so what I basically did, I just want to show you some of these stations. I don't want to show the results of all 59 sites. I picked some, I think, which are kind of interesting, and I wanted to start with the simplest one, which should be more or less in a homogeneous half space, which should be the same for that one down here, but unfortunately they look quite different. So we start with the one which I called north for north line, sea for satellite, south for coastline, and the numbers 1 to 16. So we start with N16, and in this slide, the green color is for all the finite difference, red is all the finite elements, and blue is your symmetry.
Well, I'm sitting below.
For all the IDs.
Yeah, I think it looks quite good. They're all meshing nicely. Looking at the faces, there's some codes which have little trouble with the really short periods over here. But I think that looks relatively good. If you go to the south one now, I'm surprised to see this huge scattering here. We didn't see for the other one. Same in the other diagonal component.
Well, this is the same. Yes, all one is the first side is bottom left.
So that's the one with the scattering, and that's the one up there. It looks nice. So I don't know if anybody has ideas for what's going on there. I was thinking that my people might say it doesn't matter because it's small numbers, but I find it interesting that there's a huge difference between the M16 and the S1. As you see the same in the faces, so the scattering is still there. Yeah, so what we now have, I put all the others in grey as background, and we have highlighted now the red ones from Dirichlet's integral equation. That's the faces. On the next one, we now have the two finite element codes. The blue one is from Lurie and Tegal, and the other one is from Mencken. That's faces. I think, Antje, you probably wanted to say something about, you said you know where your problems might are. Nicely. They're really matching perfectly here. They're matching perfectly here. And they're not doing it all for the other side. You know what I mean?
But what, copying out the absolute magnitudes?
Go back one slide.
Go back one slide.
Yeah. So it's 10 to the minus 1.
They're pretty small, aren't they?
All right, so 3 orders of magnitude, so it's 1.5 orders in E.
It's 3 orders of magnitude.
Yeah, but it's 1.5 in E.
Are you really able to interpret these small things?
Well, later on you'll see that this propagates, this issue with the diagonal terms, when you get to sites where the diagonal terms are important.
Correct.
We're showing you them now.
Yeah, but I think it's not important when it's so
to discussion later on this point?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I did two runs, one that...
Oh yeah, I see the other one is missing, that's true.
Yeah.
the bottom of all the others. It's really consistent.
Yeah, no kidding.
So back to the previous slide, so what were the grades? Is that
that's just kind of to have all the other responses for comparison, but not showing all the encounters, so you wouldn't see anything in there.
So there's, I mean, didn't you look at the, let's say, YF?
So for me, it's really hard to tell to say which code is correct in this white range.
In previous slide, YY.
Could you show?
Yeah, this blue. You see this? Around 10 seconds, 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Oh, is it only this unit is out?
Which one are you talking about?
Blue.
Blue, yeah. But which component?
YY.
10 seconds.
It is, what is it?
I will show you for the. I think it's the next slide I picked. All these codes have a weird kink in their resistivity. I don't know what that is. But all the, for some sites, some codes do have it. But there are two sites where all codes have
but
it.
But only your, only your, because it is impossible to see gray. What is the gray stuff? Only your code is like that.
No,
I
there's some gray down here. Some of the codes show up, but not all. So top one first is this one.
Yeah,
that's
but are you
saying the kink is real? That's pretty complicated,
yes.
There, right? You've got
but
resistor at the bottom, and then you know, conductor up top. So
you think that's really structured?
Why not? Exactly.
Yeah.
I think with the diagonal components, you know,
something.
But all, when, you know, when you got the original data, I mean, everything you did, was it all consistent?
Mm.
You were multiplied by cosmos and
Well, I did ask people to send me the responses for a particular coordinate system and the particular sign convention. And if I plotted them out and there were problems, I got back to these people asking if they have mutated, if they have plus or minus sign convention used, and then we got sorted out. So they basically did the rotation and did the multiplication, and then I just plotted what I got.
Well, maybe they got it sorted out, maybe they didn't. I mean, I think we're still confused. there's a minus sign that still seems to be floating around. I mean, there's only really two operations, right? One is complex conjugation, because you've got e to the plus I on the t, and you're converted up e to the minus. And then you've got your coordinate system. Well, you've got rotation matrices that should be able to handle that. So with the combination of those two things, we should be able to get the
this is the real part of the ZXX impedance, and this is the imaginary part. And you notice that, you know, the phases are, you know, 135 degrees plus or minus 135, depending where you are. If the real part is positive, the imaginary part is negative, So if you calculate those phases just using an A tan 2 function, you end up with something that basically looks like this. It's either 135 or minus 135. Whereas if you actually unwrap them and just calculate them with a tan function, you get an image now that looks like this, which actually has got some geologic structure that's attached to it, and you can see where the boundaries are here of the block. So, I mean, that's a two-dimensional image versus just a single trajectory. But again, it comes back. This is actually a nice way of looking at the data from the point of view of.
It's probably nice, data. But it seems like you're throwing something away.
What?
It seems
yes.
like you're throwing something away. I mean, that's amazing, but it almost seems like you're throwing something away.
That a zero crossing, you mean?
Yeah, but maybe that's not important.
It's a question of which data you want to work with for inverting. I mean, I'd always want to work with these data for inversion, mm-hmm. but from the point of view of plotting and trying to make some geologic sense.
I don't know. It may be that the TAM ends up with a more robust
Why not?
Data for inverting.
I mean, this sort of leads into tomorrow, but you know, whether you invert for real imaginary or amplitude phase, and then of course if it's the octagonal, you have very good phase rules, but for the diagonal elements, it's interesting if you did amplitude and phase.
Well, that would be a nightmare because you're going to have to worry about all these phases. You're going to have to do all this phase unwrapping while you're doing the inversion, because if you're just on one side of this, then you're at like minus 135, you're at the other side, you're at plus 135, so you've got to continue.
So you've already unwrapped it in any case.
Well, I just calculated these phases up here just using the tan function, just A tan as opposed to A tan 2, which gives you that.
But I'm saying, why not? Could you just do that anyway and not think about the. I'm just wondering.
It looks a lot more stable.
Yeah.
This is probably getting harder to talk for tomorrow. But on the invert data, do you normally invert on the impedances or the counties?
Well, we do both.
But if you get the latter, that's adding another nonlinear to the process.
We would like to invert always real and imaginary parts of impedance. Like that's the best.
I disagree.
Really? Okay, well, we'll talk about that. I wanted to put up this image because of your plots, which were going from like minus 135 to 135, and they're complicated to look at, but actually when plotted in this manner, they're really quite easy to see. I kind of like to return to that discussion that we just were starting on previously, because it with respect to assigning errors, deciding what kind of errors we should put on the data, what kind of errors we're going to tolerate in forward modeling. These are critical issues.
you make us people who are in the real world, you make us do nasty things with our data. You know. But the reality is what we should be modelling in acquisition. You and I have talked about this many times. We should be modelling in acquisition coordinates. Basically, because the moment you start doing any rotation with field data, you're mixing noise. You know, imagine you've got two channels and you've got one channel, let's say your VY channel is a noisier, you know, you've got noisier resistances and capacitances. The moment you do any rotation, you're rotating noise into the other channel. And it, you know, some guy wrote a paper years ago saying rotation would help.
Yeah, you don't, I mean, you don't have to rotate.
Oh, it's me.
Example. Take one of those examples that we saw before. We had Z, and we had something like, and now we take the square root of permittivity. So we had 10, I think, and we have something like 20, maybe. And then we had, maybe we didn't have that, but let's say that we have one here. Those two guys on both. to measure them sufficiently accurately.
Can you do that for each frequency?
That you would do for each frequency.
much, much like that. You can be very, very fast.